So I woke up this morning and I have a little scratch in my throat. So if I sound like a 13-year-old this morning and my voice cracks, that's why. I am a grown man, I promise. Well, the title of my little devotion slash message this morning is The Extraordinarily Ordinary. Extraordinarily Ordinary. And what we need to know at the outset is this. The Christian life is not lived through extraordinary experience. It's just not. No, the Christian life is lived through an extraordinarily ordinary faithfulness. It's about faithfulness. Faithfulness to the gospel and to Jesus. And in this time today, I said that it was Appreciation Sunday. So the leadership, we wanted to talk and take time to thank those of you who serve so faithfully in the ministries. And the reason we want to do that is so oftentimes what we do is we uphold the quote-unquote radical faith, this idea that everything is epic. And there is certain truth to that. But really, radical faith is nothing more than simple faithfulness. Ordinary faithfulness. What it is is day in, day out, walking in the Lord each and every day in all of the ordinary aspects and contexts of our lives. So with that today, we're not praising the supposed heroes, the great orators, the great theologians, those that have done so much, but no, it's the ordinary heroes, those that come and they serve in so many ways, and we acknowledge that your contribution is the most important. So our text for this morning is Colossians 3. You can turn there in your Bibles, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And if you don't have a Bible, you can take them. We have them provided for you under the seat. You can grab a Bible and pull it out. And I would encourage all of you to do that, to bring your Bibles, to dwell in the Word. I know we have it up on the screen, but it's so important to have the Bible with you. But listen to these words from the book that we love. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Church, this is the word of the Lord, and we're so thankful for it. Let's pray really quickly. Heavenly Father God, we pray for this time as we spend a little bit of time in your word. We thank you that you've called us to faithfulness, to rely on you for our strength, to rely on you for all things. Pray that you would strengthen even me, a weak vessel that I am. Lord, bless this church. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, before we dig into the text, I'm going to show a quick video. And some of you have probably seen this. It was on during the Olympics. And, well, it's kind of self-explanatory. So it's a minute long, and we'll watch it right now.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're watching the screen. Everything is awesome when you're sharing a meme. The interwebs fails on springs, just to name two awesome things. A voice remote from angry kings, you know what's awesome. Everything, apps that please, more selfies, endless hours of the best TVs. Brand new apps, shows to go, awesome internet that's super whoa. Shows, pros, foes, they're awesome. Games, flames, and wings, they're awesome. Everything you watch or send or share is awesome. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're dancing in jeans. Everything is awesome when you're watching a screen.
Xfinity.
Everything is awesome.
The future of awesome.
Okay, so I don't want anybody to go out buying Xfinity after this talk this morning. But everything is awesome. I'm awesome, you're awesome. All of us want this feeling of awesomeness all the time. where nothing is dull, everything is exciting, everything is filled. Boredom cannot be accepted under any circumstance. And screens, obviously, they provide that for us in a lot of ways, in one shape or other. I know the Bears are on later today. Some of you are probably looking forward to that. And it's the drama, it's the music, it's the story that gets put behind us, and it draws us in. Literally, it becomes what it is. It becomes a world of fake possibilities. I love superhero movies and action movies, and they draw us in. We love to think about what if life was like that. And it's literally an unreality. We know it's not real, but at the very least, we want to take our lives and not have them be mundane or ordinary. And at minimum, you know, we get to escape the mundane and the ordinary for at least a few hours as we watch a show or watch Netflix for hour on end. So, yeah, that's it. But here's the thing, church. What we do, and this affects our day-to-day lives. We want awesome lives, right? What affects our spiritual lives as well? So what it looks like is we'll take this idea of radical faith and we'll uphold the person that sells everything they have. They move 3,000 miles away down the road. They sell everything they have. They go to a third world country. And somehow that is lauded, that's praised more than the person that each and every single week comes and faithfully teaches, faithfully serves, faithfully does the work of the Lord that they've been called to do. And here's the thing. They're both praiseworthy. They're both worthy of praise. But guess what? The person that sells everything, moves 3,000 miles away, has to live out the gospel within their context each and every single day. Faithful obedience, living it out, walking in the Lord, stumbling, having questions, just like the person that serves every single day. And every single week, week in, week out, whether it's at your job, whether it's in the home, anywhere, whether it's ministering to a tribe or any of that, they're the same. We walk all the same in Christ. And Paul exhorts us in Colossians verse 12, put on compassion, put on compassionate hearts, put on kindness, put on humility, meekness, patience. And if this sounds like to any of you, if this sounds like the fruits of the Spirit, bonus points to you for noticing that. This isn't anything particularly unusual in Scripture, just as Galatians and the fruits of the Spirit. No, it's all through the New Testament. These are how we live our Christian lives. And above all, we put on love. So in our verses today, we have to acknowledge that, what are these things? Compassion, kindness, peace, patience, love. These are simple things, right? They're difficult, but they're simple things. Admonishing one another. In Christ, put on compassion, kindness, humility, faithful service. What these things are, these are the ordinary building blocks of what a spiritual life is in Christ. That's what a spiritual life is forged and built in. As we are in Christ, it begins there, and we continue to grow and mature in faith. And this is what we're doing this morning, praising, reading the Word, all of these things. So to put on literally means to be clothed. We are clothed with Christ. And the whole book of Colossians talks about dwelling. We're to dwell in the Word, as we read. And dwelling is literally to be bathed in the Word. To put on is to be clothed, that we are now walking in Christ, in the gospel, as we grow and mature and grow up in Him into maturity. We are to increase in the knowledge of God. That's chapter 1, verse 10. This growth, this bathing, this clothing, this new self, we are putting to death the old self and putting on the new self and walking in this new way, these fruits of the Spirit, and increasing in that knowledge. So here's what it looks like too. So many of you may be aware of this, some of you may not be, but I lost my mom to a rare form of cancer when I was 18 years old. And I'm 36 now, and it just dawned on me this year, it's quite a sobering moment, that I realized that I have missed my mom for just as much time as I knew my mom. And that's really weird to think about, that I knew her as much as I've missed her. And as I think through all of the memories that I do have of my mom, you know how many of them are just basic and ordinary? Nothing particular special? It's ideas, and I remember a lot of things. There, of course, there were the epic Thanksgiving or Christmas where there's tons of gifts, and yeah, those all happened. We did trips, all of that. No, they're basic, ordinary memories. A back scratch, a hug before bed, reading a story. Not when I was 18, when I was younger, people. But still, do you know what I mean? Just basic. It's living life. Mom on the phone when I was watching TV with my brothers, or traveling in the car on a trip. And we weren't always pleasant either. And Andy Williams, a few weeks ago, talked to us about he challenged us to write down a few things about your mom. And he was connecting that with knowing Christ, right? So do we know Christ? Do we know our mothers? And making that connection. And when he said that, I thought, huh, my mom was awesome. But why was she awesome? Because as I look back at all of the love, the caring, the nurturing, all those are very normal and natural for a mom to do for their children. It was special to me. It meant a ton to me. But if we were to take a time machine back and you were to see one of those memories that I hold so very dear and cherish in my heart, you would look at it. There would be no epic music. It would just be, well, duh, Ben. That's what a mom does. A mom gives a hug and tells you she loves you. But yeah, it was important to me. So it's ordinary things. It's these basic actions. So the point is, all these ordinary things add up to huge things, right? In all of our lives. Parents, your children aren't going to ultimately remember all of the epic things that you did for them, but they're going to remember the day-to-day living elements of your life in the family. We had a chance to go to Disney a couple years ago. And it was epic. It was great. The kids saw all their princesses. William was dragged along to see all the princesses with everybody, but he got to see Buzz Lightyear, and that was awesome. And our kids still talk about it today. Here and there, you know, it's but day to day, it's not a part of our conversation. If we see pictures, they'll talk about it, and man, they can't wait to go back. It's so awesome. But no, our day to day jokes is we're sitting at the family, and everybody's just being a perfect little angel. And we're laughing, and we're playing, and we're being there for one another, and we're talking, and we're praying before bed, or reading a story. Those are the things that we talk about day in and day out. It's not a part of our, Disney isn't a part of our normal talking. It's just being together, being there for one another. And they seem mundane, but that's the stuff that has the greater impact long term. So going back to our verse, these are the simple, these are the difficult things, but this is what's needed to build up the body. And this is why we're gathered here today. So it's bearing with one another, it's forgiving each other, and it's above all put on love. Ordinary, and yet it's some of the most powerful stuff that we can be a part of in faithful service to the church and to the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. So just as in a family, those of you who serve here are making a huge impact. You're making a huge impact. For anyone who is serving at the juice station after service today, and the kids are running around, they're getting a little Dixie cup shot of apple juice, they're scurrying around, they're picking another shot of apple juice, scurrying around, picking another. Guys, that you are blessing their socks off. I can't even tell you. Because what that's going to do is that's going to make an imprint in their minds of how this was a loving and caring community. And when they're older, you may not even know. I've ministered to I don't know how many teens over the years. I have no clue where 95% of them are today. Even with social media, you don't know who these kids are growing up into. But maybe that was the atmosphere that is in fellowship and coffee that they come back to and they remember, you know what? Christ community was great. That was formative in my years because I was loved and I was cared for. And somebody was just standing there serving juice. Little things make a huge impact. So much more so than what a pastor or myself could contrive in some sort of epic, massive event, or how dynamic of a speaker, or any of those things, or how epic worship is. No, it's the small things. So I look at it this way. If you think about Christ himself, what did he do? 30-some-odd years is when he began his ministry, right? What did he do before then? Well, he ate. He was in fellowship. He went to synagogue. He studied the law. He knew Torah. He was just a regular guy. And then he reveals himself to be the Son of God, and everybody's flabbergasted by it. What, him? You serious? And then he starts his ministry, and he's in his ministry, in Christ's ministry. What made it so extraordinary was his faithful, constant obedience to the will of the Father, even as he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's on his way to the cross, sacrifice for our sins. And 3 days later, he conquers death, and he's there it is. But he spent most of his life walking with his disciples. There was no rock band following Christ around in these grand crescendos to all of these epic experiences and even the miracles that we see. No, it was his faithful obedience to the Father as the Son of God. Paul is the same way. He starts in Jerusalem. He travels up to Caesarea. He walked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. There is so much, and John tells us that Jesus did that we don't even know. And the same thing with Paul. He was walking. He was walking in faithfulness. Abraham's the same way. Go to a land that is not your own. Pick up your stuff and go. He just does it. He picks it up. Now, is that extraordinary? Yeah, it is. But because of his faithfulness, in faithfulness, he's obeying the Father. So what fits your image of true faith? Is it this image of epic feats of somehow strength that we can somehow charge hell with a water gun? Or is it pure awesomeness? Or is it this idea of extraordinarily ordinary? I really hope that it's the ordinary, that you recognize these things that the Colossians has. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And further on down, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's a holy life lived in Christ. That's why we're here. We put it on, we walk it, we faithfully serve, we engage, we encourage. When I'm down, I have people in my life that pray for me and encourage me and build me up, and that's what the body is supposed to be. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. And for those of you who serve in our ministries, we want to say thank you for doing that, because in all of those ways, it is so important. It's so very important. And some of you are engaged in volunteer and serving and ministering outside of these walls, and we thank you and we appreciate the ways that you do that. And some of you have been coming and come to worship, and you're not plugged in and connected. And it's not a guilt trip either, because we want you just to be a part of this body. We are a body of Christ, and we grow and mature. Bodies grow just as the kids are back there. Parents, as you're nurturing and loving them and feeding them, hopefully not overfeeding them, and as they grow and they mature, we do the same thing. We're growing and maturing here. So I can't end anything more perfectly than to say, finally, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's it. That's it, church. That's all there is. In Christ, in faith, everything you do in word or deed. Parents, if you're changing diapers, men and women, if you're working in the corporate world, if you're called to missions and you're going to sell everything and go away, whatever those things are, in everything that you do in word or deed, in the supermarket, wherever you are, such mundane, ordinary elements of our lives can be worshipful and can be impactful if we have eyes to see and we're walking in faithfulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you that you are so much more faithful than we are. Lord, give us strength, Lord, that you uphold us, that you draw us close to yourself in so many ways all the time. And we are so thankful that you do that, because we fail so much. So Lord, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you that we have all of this to lean on. We have you to lean on. We pray for the leadership of this church. We are thankful for everyone that serves. Lord, we pray that you would continually grow us in the faith. In your name I pray. Amen.